All right, the NFL draft is less than 48 hours away. Here to guide us down the home stretch when it comes to betting opportunities, Pro Bettor Hitman. He might not say it, so I will. Contrary to one recent detractor's opinion on Twitter, he is one of the best bettors in the world when it comes to information-driven markets like the NFL draft. You can follow him on Twitter if you're not doing so already, at Hitman428. Hitman, always a pleasure to connect. Welcome back to Props and Hops.
Yeah, my Twitter mentions right now, if people want to look at them, they're pretty popular right now. So I think I got myself into I picked the wrong time to get in a war with other people on Twitter. You know, I'm pretty busy with draft stuff right now. So probably should have saved it for like June, July, something like that. But I'm ready to go. I'm ready to talk some draft.
All right. And as we do just that, to anybody who's live with us tonight across YouTube and Twitter, thanks for joining the show. Feel free to jump in the chat with any questions or comments, and we'll look to work those into the show if and when possible. Hitman, to kick things off, how would you describe the NFL draft betting market's evolution since we had the same conversation just about this time last year?
Probably the best way I would describe it is years ago, there was little interest and more liquidity in the market. And years later now, there is way more interest and less liquidity. So usually it's the other way around. But two to five years ago, I used to get a lot more money down. I paid a lot more attention to it. Like, I keep getting asked about draft stuff, and I've been asked about it since March. And I was just telling people, you know what? Like, I really don't know, because I'm just not as up to date on it as I should be. And it's kind of just because it's not worth a month and a half worth of effort nowadays, because I'm just not getting enough on it. 2 years ago, I was plugged in for 2 months, as plugged in as anybody. I would put myself up against anybody as far as draft betting. But I'm a little bit past my prime now. I'm still a big favorite to make money, so that's good. But it's just going to be a lot less money than usual. And I'm focusing more on the draft about a week or two before, whereas previously I was focused 2 months before.
Perhaps a nod to the late, great Toby Keith is in order here. I'm not as good as I once was, but I'm as good once as I ever was. So Hitman, let's look to reach the apex of our betting capabilities as we hit the home stretch here in the NFL draft betting market. At the top of the board, the number one pick, pretty much a foregone conclusion at this point, with Caleb Williams going to Chicago. The number two pick has been pretty intriguing recently, but it's starting to look like a foregone conclusion in its own right, with Jaden Daniels pulling away as a heavy favorite to go to Washington. You covered the number two overall market in the Forward Progress show earlier today with fellow friends of this show, Suma and Cleve TA. If anybody catching this conversation has not yet seen or heard that episode of Forward Progress, would highly recommend checking it out when you can. So Hitman, a question in the spirit of looking to advance rather than repeat any of that conversation. When it comes to information like Daniel Jeremiah's final mock draft or the marketplace in general, such as books that may be slow to move on perhaps even more steam that could come in on that number two market, what's your process these final couple days before the draft to confirm your eventual betting decision when it comes to the number two pick?
A lot of it is just either people that I talk to behind the scenes, whether maybe I'm talking to some other bettors that a lot of times, like a lot of, if you're talking to like other bettors and other groups, you could get, and they claim that they have information, you can tell like the degree of confidence in the information. If they are asking you like, hey, could you help me get down as much as possible on something, open order. So for example, like if I get a text from somebody and they say, I'm hearing Jaden Daniels is going to be the second pick. I don't need anything on it. I'm just passing along the information. Maybe I'm going to be a little bit skeptical of that. But if it's like somebody really sharp, really respected, they reach out and they're saying, oh, I heard Jaden Daniels is going number two. Bet it to infinity. Would take any price on it. That's information that I tend to believe more than the other way around. So I kind of just wait to see what I hear about certain stuff. I try to piece together. I love to get like a consensus on stuff. Like you're starting to see with Jaden Daniels, like it's a consensus with every single media guy mm-hmm. now. So once you get that consensus, that stuff feels strong. It's one thing, like I don't love just buying one rumor from one guy, especially if it's somebody that's like not Daniel Jeremiah or Peter Schrager or Adam Schefter. Like if it's a tier two, tier three guy, it's just one guy saying like, oh, I think so-and-so is going to be a top 10 pick. I just keep a mental note pretty much most times. But then if you start to get more groupthink, where it's more and more people are hearing this, saying this, start to add some confidence in it. So that's kind of where I'm at with number two pick. Just it's a waiting game right now. Although I think it's going to be Jaden Daniels. The prices are getting so high now. But then with any other market, it's just a waiting game for me. And I feel like the closer I get to the draft, the more and more confident I will be in my opinions.
And when it comes to opinions beyond the likely first quarterbacks selected on Thursday, shifting our sights to the market for first defensive player, your opinion as of last week, April 16th, per Twitter, worst bet to make is Turner first defensive player at minus money. Don't hate longer shot prices on Latu and Verse. Now, as you caveated in that same post, your opinion is subject to change, especially in a market as volatile as the NFL draft. And of course, when you tweet about a market like this, your influence can move lines in closer to 7 seconds than the 7 days it's been since that post. So Hitman, all that said, since you shared your opinion publicly on this market, how would you describe your current point of view when it comes to betting options for first defensive player to be selected?
I like it. I like Dallas Turner, excuse me. I like him to go over 9.5. That's my favorite play that is widely available now. Now, when I say it's my favorite play, it doesn't mean, oh, that's Hitman's best bet for the entire draft. No, I had a lot of bets that I liked more on this, but the problem is that this one is actually getting some market resistance. So I'm able to get more down on it. Whereas some other plays, like I have some Byron Murphy under 18.5 in pocket. That's 14.5 heavily juiced now. Byron Murphy under 18.5 is a way better bet than Turner over 9.5. But the problem is you kind of just breathe on some of these draft props. They're moved in minutes. And if you don't get any buyback on the other side, you're just not going to get as much down as something like a Dallas Turner over. So I'm invested in the Turner over. I'm invested in first defensive player taken. I'm on Verse and Latu. Those prices are kind of gone right now, where I wouldn't recommend them at the current prices. But I just think that Atlanta, that's where the most popular mock is for Turner right now. But I personally believe/hear that I think if they do go edge, I think that their preference is Latu. I could easily be wrong on that, but that's just what I believe. And I also believe that they want to trade down. And there's also an outside chance they take Murphy. So I think that there's many ways that's not Turner at 8. And Chicago, if Roma Dunze somehow falls to 9, that's going to be the pick. I'm very confident in saying that. If he's not there, I've heard some stuff about Jared Verse potentially being their number one edge. I've heard some stuff about Byron Murphy being a possibility there. I am just not sold that Turner is their number one guy either. So I think that Turner right now is a good bet to go over 9.5 and like the minus 150-ish range. But as I said on earlier today, something could come out where I could completely flip my position. It's important with the draft to not just be married to certain opinions. I'm going off information and other opinions. So I could get a piece of information where I all of a sudden say, I love Dallas Turner to go under 9.5. It could happen. But as of right now, Tuesday night, I think that Turner over 9.5 is a good bet.
All right. And for those of you catching this on YouTube or maybe listening slash watching on Spotify, where we got the video feed available, if you've seen my eyes darting around, I've tried to do some real-time line shopping here and get a little bit of this in pocket myself. Hitman, I'm seeing anywhere from a low of minus 135 to a high of minus 165 across a handful of books that I've been able to check during the course of this conversation. I heard you mention minus 150. Would you describe that as about the price cutoff point for this to be a bettable number on Turner over 9.5?
Probably the cutoff for me is like minus. I think I went up to 170, and at 170, I stopped. But again, it's also like there's a lot more liquidity in the Turner thing. And part of me is just like, you know, like I don't want my entire draft just get wasted. Like, let's say right now I have 8 plays in pocket that I think are I'm gonna go 7-1 on, possibly some over unders that have moved drastically. Mm-hmm. Well, the problem is that I have 8 to 10 times less on those 8 plays than I do Turner. So it's a question of if I do want my entire draft to potentially get, I don't want to say ruined, but a dent in it based off one position being wrong. So I kind of stopped at 170, but I think that you could get up to 170, 180, to be honest.
Gotcha. I appreciate that context. And in the same vein of peeling back the curtain on your process, not just any picks themselves, I'd love to dive into one notion that's really come front and center in my mind in recent days, the notion of same bet, different price, as I like to think of it. And to that end, we can often find bets that imply the same or similar outcomes for very different prices when it comes to markets like the NFL draft. And an example I shared on Twitter over the weekend, late last week at the same book, I saw Jackson Powers Johnson to go in the first round at minus 300 and Jackson Powers Johnson draft position under 31.5 at plus 110. Now, admittedly, this is not exactly the same outcome, but you don't really have to squint to see the resemblance there. And as a quick update, the rogue offshore line I'd seen at plus 110 has moved up to minus 200. So no longer a glaring edge, but a good example, I think, of something that was available for days and an example of how books can lag farther behind in some markets than in others. So when I saw the first round number of minus 300 and the under 31.5 at plus 110, I didn't know anything about Jackson Powers Johnson at the time, but I didn't need to in order to know that at least one of those numbers was probably wrong by a good margin. I mean, before accounting for the VIC, just some basic math here, the implied probability that he was going to go in the first round, in other words, the top 32 at minus 300, 75%. And the implied probability that he would go in the top 31, given that draft position under 31.5 at plus 110, 47.6%. So we're talking about a gaping delta in those break-even probabilities. Some quick line shopping confirmed that JPJ should be a firm favorite to go in the first round. So that told me that the plus money on the under 31.5 was a major edge. And again, it was there for quite some time. So with that example in mind, Hitman, to bring this back to you, from line shopping across books to sometimes discrepancies like this within the same book, how much does the theme of same slash similar bet, but significantly different price factor into your draft betting process?
Yeah, so a lot of it is, I think, you know, we preach price sensitivity a lot of times with the draft. I think that it's just a time that, like, I think that a lot of times you could throw a lot of it out of the window and just bet stuff. And I never say this about anything. Like, if a game's -3 in the NFL, I'd say you can absolutely not bet -3.5. But a lot of times with like the draft stuff, with price sensitivity, I'm just looking towards a lot of times like just picking winners, as crazy as it sounds. Like, you would never say this with any other market, but like there's certain stuff, like it could be minus 110 and it gets bet up to minus 200. And I'm saying, I don't care anymore. The minus 200 is winning. This should be priced at minus 400. So I don't know if that answers your question fully, but I think that it's, it's just a time of the year where price sensitivity, I'm just not thinking about it as much. I'm just looking for the right information and firing. Did that answer your question, Matt?
I think it got us there. Yeah, maybe not anchoring so much to the sources of truth or triangulating in the same way that we can in a more liquid, more efficient market like regular season point spreads, but trying to marry gaping deltas we may see there with maybe more handicapping, a little bit more subjectivity that needs to go with the prices that we see in a relatively inefficient market like the draft. Does that sum it up reasonably?
Yeah, pretty much.
So, before we go any further there, don't want to belabor that point. Hope we've been clear enough as far as that notion goes. We are getting a couple of players asked about in the chat, so maybe we can weave this in briefly. Hitman AC on Twitter asking what you think about Bo Nix, Kev asking about Xavier Worthy. Both of those players, as I recall, have seen a good bit of movement recently. I feel like Nix was steamed heavily to the over 32 and a half. I saw Circa juiced heavily over at 34 and a half at one point. That seems to be coming back a bit. Xavier Worthy seems to have quite a wide range of outcomes. One team could get infatuated with his speed and he could go early 20s. Wouldn't be a stunner to see him go on day two. So when it comes to Nix and Worthy, I like these players in particular because of the wide ranges of outcomes. What's your approach in terms of how to bet their draft prospects?
Bo Nix, I agree with the fade on him, but I think that one of the best ways to approach it is maybe looking at the Denver first position that they take and not taking quarterback. Bo Nix has been attached to them a lot, but I just don't think it happens at pick 12. I do not think it happens, and maybe it happens in the second round. But I do not think it happens at 12. And like, if you look at Denver right now, like the quarterback is the favorite. But I did bet some defensive back at 7-1. I think there's still some 5-1-ish that's out there that I think is not a bad bet. Possibly some defensive line, I think not a bad bet. Basically, I'm looking to bet anti-Denver quarterback with the first pick. So I think that is where I fit into the Bo Nix thing. Xavier Worthy has some the most variance in this draft as far as guys that could go. I could see him going top 20, like late teens, early 20s, or I could see him going in the 40s. That type of speed you've seen so often that these players get pushed up draft boards, and that all it takes is one team to fall in love with that speed. So I think there's a lot of variance in Xavier Worthy. And it's probably a player that I am not going to touch.
Got it. And I'm seeing Bobby and Bo jump in the chat with a couple other players. Guys, thank you for jumping in. I think we can get to them. I will weave in a few more questions for Hitman, then look to maybe go rapid fire through a few more players as we hit the home stretch of this episode in 10 minutes or so. Hitman, one thing I wanted to touch on to think about, again, the process here, not just specific players or picks. When it comes from the betting markets and how we can read between lines at certain books that may be relatively sharp or square to the media landscape this betting cycle, I feel like there's about as much consensus as I can recall on who goes top 10, who goes in the first round. The order in which those players go is up for debate, but it feels like there are relatively fewer landmines than usual. And I'm wondering if this is a bit of a double-edged sword because the potential upside is that we could have increased confidence and thus even more value than usual in laying big prices for those with the risk tolerance to do so. I'm thinking that in some cases there might be odds of 10 to 1 or less, a break-even probability of about 90, 91%, and maybe the true odds are closer to 20 to 1, where the break-even probability should be north of 95%. So laying that much vig can be uncomfortable, but it can actually unlock a lot of value, especially with a heavy degree of confidence. And then the possible downside: one team going rogue can have such a major domino effect. So I'm wondering, when there's as much consensus as there appears to be this year on at least the names to go in some markets like top 10 or in the first round, we don't know as much about the order, but what's your approach, all that said, to being aggressive when you have a lot of confidence that there is a big edge there versus maybe still being a bit more careful when we know that one unforeseen selection can have significant downstream implications?
I tend to look, my favorite way to bet the draft isn't as much the early picks it's more of looking at like the, or like picking like what specific team is going to take a guy, like at the seventh pick, what's going to happen there or whatever. A lot of times I'll like to take the guys that I know have a lot of outs. Like, for example, like Joe Alt right now, it's probably going to be set. If he goes top seven, it's seven in all likelihood. I'd rather, a lot of times I like to focus on a guy like that's either falling or is gaining steam, and he has a lot more of outs. Does that make sense? Like a sure. Like a Byron Murphy, for example. I like to focus on that under 18 and a half. Like I was thinking about it, like there's so many, this guy's stock is skyrocketing. There's so many outs. He could go 10, 11, 12, whatever, 18 or whatever. So the uncertainty in the top of the draft, it doesn't mean much to me, because a lot of times it's just I'm not focusing on the top of the draft as much as I am focusing on just finding those guys later in the draft, whereas later means like 20s, 30s or whatever, where I think those are sometimes the best bets you can make. An example was Quay Walker 2 years ago. A day or two before the draft, there was talk about this guy's might be a first round pick. Like you could get him under 41 and a half. And they're saying that very respected people saying he could be a first round pick. Well, now you just have so many outs and you could bet that down to maybe a 36 and a half, 34 and a half. I just feel like some of those bets are so much stronger to make than just focusing on like, this is the top 10. Let's find what one specific team is going to do at this pick. So that's kind of how I approach it. The uncertainty or certainty in the top 10, it doesn't bother me as much, because most of my draft philosophy is just looking for risers and fallers that are typically in that late mid to later to first round to second round. So yeah, it's not as much of a big deal to me as far as this year top 10 uncertainty involving it.
I like the Quay Walker example, because not only can it present a lot of outs once a player steams in terms of teams that could pick him, certain draft slots that could be winners at a variety of numbers, when we've got a lot of wiggle room from a number in the 40s to a projected first round pick at a certain point. But also in that case, I recall traveling shortly before the draft and getting wind of the Walker steam, and I wasn't in a position to do as much with it in the moment as I'd hoped. So his draft position over under number slid quite a bit. But again, other markets, kind of like JPJ, his props to go in the first round stayed pretty stagnant. So there are often ways to maneuver quite a bit after a primary market moves. There might be secondary or tertiary markets where you can still get down, again, same or similar bet at a very different price. And some of those lag a little bit and give you some more time if you're not as quick on the trigger as the Hitmans of the world. Hitman, exactly. I'd also love to jump in. Now, I'll throw some of my pre-planned outline out the window. We're getting a lot of good questions in the chat, and I want to get through as many of these as we can. Yeah. Maybe if we can try to go 30 seconds or less rapid fire on some of these. Let's see. AC asked, what do you think of Bo Nix to the Broncos? I kind of spoke to this. My thought, correct me if I'm wrong, maybe it happens, but if it does, not necessarily going to be with the Broncos' first pick as currently situated.
Yeah. Denver first picks that aren't quarterback, I think, has value. And corner, I played at 7-1, would play it down to like 5-1 if that number is still out there.
Got it. Okay. And we've got Bobby Axelrod asking about Byron Murphy, possible prospects to go in the top 10. I know he's seen a lot of steam, but it seems like some players we've seen, Xavier Worthy, again, Bo Nix, some two-way action. At a certain point, do you think the Murphy steam gets too extreme, or any thoughts on Bobby's question there?
I think the steam's right on him. I think that his under draft position, if it's still 14 and a half juiced, I think that's probably worth a bet. And I could see the top 10 stuff being good. So yeah, I would endorse that.
All right. And we've got Bo Renner. I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing the last name. They're asking about Quinion Mitchell under 15 and a half. Heard DJ say on a Twitter space not to sleep on the Colts trading up for him. So any thoughts on Mitchell's prospects to go in the first half of the first round?
I heard that also. I'm looking more into it. I could see myself getting involved, but that that what you're mentioning with DJ saying that on Twitter Spaces, that happened like just before I jumped in on here. I haven't had much time to really think about it, but I also think Indy's a team that could go a lot of ways. Like, I think that Brock Bowers is definitely a possibility there. If he does fall a little bit, there's talk about Brian Thomas. They have quite a bit of need, so I could see them going a few ways. But yeah, I would lean under, but I haven't done nothing with it yet.
Understood. Next up in this rapid fire run through, Kyle Estrada asking thoughts on Rams first pick, quarterback 25-1 and wide receiver 12-1.
I don't like the quarterback one. The wide receiver one, good price. I like that bet.
All right, I will take that as a homework assignment for myself after we wrap to do some line shopping on Rams to take a receiver at 12-1 or better. Next up, Ben Shaw asking, not sure when this was made, but DK over 9.5 now is +130. Ben, let me know if we might be well past that point. Do you recall, Hitman, what that reference
is? Is that on Dallas Turner? I'll look right now.
I was only seeing some big, yeah, +130 would seem very attractive. DraftKings, I was seeing -160 just a moment ago.
I'm looking right now. Now the under 9.5 is +130. Over is 9.5 -160. I would endorse that bet on the over.
There we go. Okay, cool. Yeah, thank you for clarifying that one. A player we haven't talked about yet, Austin, asking about A.D. Mitchell under 27.5. Schefter gave a big vote of confidence, but the market's still plus money. It seems like, I don't know if this is a health flag or a character flag, but I think there's something else beyond the talent that has given some resistance to A.D.
Yeah.
Mitchell's market.
That Adam Schefter remark is the only reason I haven't bet his over. So I would lean over on him. That Schefter thing is like the last thing that has kept me from betting it, or else I would like the over. So it's a pass for me.
Fair enough. We've got Boozer's Betting Club. Good name. Nice synergy with props and hops. Do you think the Vikings pick a quarterback first?
I bet Vikings. I mean, I'm past posting. This line's not even close to available anymore, so I hate to say it. I got Vikings -125 to take a quarterback. The limits that I got down on it were absolutely pathetic. I'm embarrassed that I even bet it for as much as I bet it. It wasn't much. And the price just skyrocketed. I think it's like -300 now.
I'm seeing a -350 at the first book I checked.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. But I wouldn't do it at that price.
All right. And how about Jordan Morgan, a name that we haven't discussed yet tonight, a name that hadn't been on my radar until recently, but it seems like he's been getting some steam. Any thoughts on Morgan's draft prospects, courtesy of a question from Kev on Twitter?
Yeah, unfortunately, not much of an opinion on Jordan Morgan. Haven't done anything involving him.
Fair enough. And same for me. So nothing to add on my end there. But thanks for asking, Kev. One thing we're seeing now, I think this is the final player in the chat we're getting asked about, Hitman. Brock Bowers, under 11.5, -110-ish. I know the Jets have been hotly rumored to be interested in him at 10. That seems like it might be the only out, barring a trade that could leave 11 as an opening as well. What are your thoughts on Bowers here?
You know, I know some of the guys that are betting Bowers over, and every time they know what they're doing with the draft, guys that are betting this over. And every time it gets bet over, it gets bet back this way. And I don't know who's betting the under, but I would assume, I mean, it's a war right now on Brock Bowers. It's a war that I don't want to stick my nose in right now. I don't got much of an opinion on the Bowers stuff. Although, I mean, you know, gun to head, you made me tell you who I think the Jets pick 10. I think it's Bowers, but it's just a gun to head opinion. I have no money to back it up.
All right, fair enough. As the saying goes, sometimes the best move you can make is a graceful retreat. So in a very polarizing market, nothing wrong with sitting back and picking our spots elsewhere across the board. I think that runs us through all the live questions we have. Hitman, one final question here to wrap this up, and let's make it a two-parter, weaving in both the hops and the Malinsky minute. I was going to ask you for the hops, your best drinking experience since your last appearance on this show leading up to the Super Bowl. And for the Molinsky Minute, zooming out and thinking maybe about your best overall experience this offseason that had nothing to do with betting. Maybe these are one and the same, or if there's just one life experience that stands out since we were last connecting in this form, breaking down Chiefs 49ers. Any noteworthy highlight from your offseason thus far?
Best drinking experience is anytime I have an espresso martini, because that's now my new drink. Mm. I just started.
Okay.
And I don't drink coffee. I've never drank coffee in my life, like an actual regular coffee. But I started getting espresso martinis, and that's my new drink that I order everywhere. So that's been like a few month phase that I'm still undergoing. So that's been my best drinking experience. Anytime I get a good one. And you said that my favorite part of the off season so far, I mentioned it a lot of times, like golf's like my new addiction. I'm 3 years into it right now. And during the off season, I'm playing quite a bit, probably 3-4 days a week at least. And when I did like some Vegas, Arizona, I played a lot of sick courses. It was probably highlighted by the waste management course. I played it the week after the tournament in Arizona. And the best part about the waste management course, number one, and the reason that they will get my business going forward, is it is right next to DraftKings Sportsbook in Arizona. What more could you want? I could go out, play around, and then be in my my work environment right after that. So that's probably the top experience for the off season.
That sounds like a hitman experience made in heaven. And while golf is outside of my wheelhouse, I will say that I'm right there with you. Having never had a cup of regular coffee, I have not had a martini, an espresso martini. There we go. Clearly I haven't had it. I can barely get the words out. I have not had a cup of coffee or an espresso martini, but stouts with coffee in them. I can do that all day. I don't understand. I love the smell of coffee. Can't stand the taste of it straight, but if it's mixed in with a nice stout, then I'm right there with you on mixing it into the beer or cocktail side of things. So Hitman, I appreciate all you've brought to this conversation when it comes from the off-season highlights to a wealth of draft betting knowledge, of course. Once again, want to remind everybody they can follow Hitman on Twitter at Hitman428. And Tom, thank you for your time during the frenzy leading up to draft day and for being perhaps the single best friend of the show. Always love having these conversations.
Thanks, Matt. Appreciate you.
And to all those of you watching and listening, thank you for your time as well. As a quick programming note, I'll be traveling for most of the next month, so I'm planning to take a break and come back in June with interviews featuring some of the most interesting people in the betting space. Until then, thanks as always for tuning in, and best of luck with your bets on the NFL Draft.